The Vox Markets Podcast.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Vadim Alexander, Head of Healthcare at SP Angel. You all right, fella?
How are you doing, Justin?
I'm all right. You know, it's the markets are sort of volatile. Be honest, my stocks have, you know, held up okay. You know, I've made some money on a couple of them. I haven't sold any of them, the ones I'm making money on, you know. But I do sort of now and again buy one, I think, no, I change my mind. And I'm a bit like the market, risk averse, but I've got a core amount of stocks that I quite like, and a couple have done quite well. So, it makes a lot of difference if you have one or two doing well in your portfolio,
yeah,
as opposed to everything dropping down. And I, you know, we've said this many a time, you know, the worst time in the market is 6 to 12 months before recession. We are probably in a recession. You know, that's where we are.
Yeah.
We just need confirmation of that via revised figures in some way. And so I think after that's happened, I think it won't be as bad. I think, you know, we'll start to get... And also, you've got other metrics. Like the, you know, it's central bank-driven, isn't it? And when we see the inflation figures, you know, coming down, and I think it will, because, you know, the economy is now slowing. There's no way they can't slow. You know, you've got literally cost of living on one side, you know, we're going to be eaten at both ends, and then debt on the other side, the cost of debt going up.
Yeah.
You know, so companies, literally, it's costing them that they've got debt, and if they're consumer-facing, they're having less people buy. And the ramifications of this, from everything, from mortgages to, you know, cars. Most people buy cars on loans. You know, that's gone up,
yeah,
massively. People are keeping their cars. And just even the slowing down in those areas, just even house builder, house sales, and car sales, even that, and then people are buying on credit cards, all that's going to slow down. So, you know, I've no doubt inflation will come down. It's lack of demand. And, you know, so once we show we're in recession, I think the central banks will have to step in, because they are feeling the pinch just servicing their debt. It's huge. You know, it's like, I don't know if you saw that stat, yeah, I read a stat yesterday, which is phenomenal. It said, UK, and this is not, and America's in a bigger situation than this, a worse situation, but the UK spent more servicing their debt last year, just interest payments, and they did paying for education. And that is worrying,
yeah,
isn't it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So but I think
remembering, you know, remember one thing, though, that's interesting, is that the central banks bought a lot of that debt,
yeah,
off the treasury.
Yeah.
And in most countries, the central bank's profits on, you know, yield go back to the treasury. Do you,
yeah,
see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a, like, I don't see the US defaulting. I don't see the UK defaulting. You know, it's the danger lies when you are your foreign debt is held externally. But, you know, but a lot of it is, it's true. Like, you know, Japan and China hold a lot of US treasuries. But overall, the key point is that we can always print our way out of a disaster. Although inflation in many ways, This time around, we're kind of seeing the dangers of that, right? With the burst of inflation we had, but I agree. Look back to the point. I agree with you that inflation's coming down now because demand is slowing drastically, and it will inevitably seep through. You know, slowing. Well, we see food prices in the UK are dropping now,
yeah,
which is a welcome relief for,
yeah,
everyone.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why I think the market, you know, we have had recent sell-offs, and you get worries, you know, but I think, you know, we are the AIM All share, it literally has been down, I think, let me just check now, if it's last 10 trading sessions, it's down on 9 of them, and literally it is down 47% from the high in September 2021. This is quite a long,
yeah,
bear market. You know, it's by any standard.
It's very, yeah, very,
yeah,
long.
And so,
But they always resolve. They always,
yeah,
do. And, you know, I think the difficulty is trying to not get affected by false starts. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, you tend to, I've done it myself. I've gotten in a bit earlier. You know, averaging in is something we've been talking about for years now. So that is a strategy. And, you know, a lot of the big gains happen early on in a new bull market.
Yeah.
So we've seen it in a few stocks, some less so, and others, you know, are still suffering from the downturn or lack of capital, the ability to raise capital, specifically in small caps. That's where the danger is. And in healthcare, biotech companies that are running out of money,
yeah,
are the ones that are affected the most.
Yeah, I think I do think I'm quite bullish 2024. Not start. I think we have a bit of a Santa rally because we've had a bit of a sell off that sets up nicely for a relief rally. but I think it'll roll over because economies are going to look bad. But then what you'll have is intervention in some way by the central banks. You know, when they're sure that inflation is no longer systemic threat, then I think they can ease a little bit, or the language of easing will you know, come to the fore. Anyway, you want to talk about two companies. We'll cover Spectrum D because we've got a lot of requests of people saying what's happened to Spectrum D. But first and foremost, a company sort of I've interviewed. Is Nigel still there? N4 Pharma. Is Nigel still on with N4 Pharma?
Yeah,
interviewed Nigel quite a few years ago. So you said something's just happened. You said before you came on. No, something just happened with this company recently. They've acquired a company. It was a very interesting area. And so explain N4 Pharma first before we sort of get into it. And if you could, Vadim.
Perfect. So N4 Pharma is basically, so this is a drug development. They're all in the area of drug development. Okay. Yeah. What's happened recently is they've acquired a 70% stake in another business. We'll get onto that business. The business is called Nanogenix. So what does N4 Pharma do? They're basically in the area of drug delivery. So they are specifically in nucleic acids. Those are DNA, RNA. That's what the drug is. So the payload of the drug is a nucleic acid. Okay.
Yeah.
They've been doing that. They've been developing. They had a good, put it this way, good rally in their stock, good interest at the time of mRNA vaccines, because you needed to deliver the mRNA somehow. Mm-hmm. So the payload being the mRNA. So they have a platform to do that. Specialists in delivery, they've identified an asset in Nanogenix, another delivery company, different delivery technology, also of nucleic acids. So they basically bought into a business which is of equal size, if you like, but diversifying their platform. So they now have, having bought, you know, I call it 70, it's a 70% stake. It's almost like a takeover. Okay.
Yeah.
But consider it their business now because they have a controlling stake in it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they now have bought into another business that's another delivery technology. But what's really important, and so now they have diversified platforms. They can use, some delivery technologies are better for certain assets. Some delivery technologies are better for, depending what your cell type you're targeting and all that. So they have almost, if you like, twice the platform now. But more interesting is the first target. So the target that Nanogenix is going for is a fibrosis target, okay? Mm-hmm. Specifically in an indication that's, it's a big indication, it's glaucoma. Everybody knows someone who's had a glaucoma surgery. And what you do is, it's an RNA silencing molecule, okay, in their delivery technology, okay, which is called Liptide. And basically it prevents scarring post-surgery. Okay, so that's the idea of reducing the fibrosis post-surgery, and that reduces the scarring and makes the surgery more successful. Now, a lot of this is all very early stage, okay? So that, you know, we'll talk about that in a sec, because the deal metrics are what's even more attractive here. Mm. But I guess my main point, and then one last thing about fibrosis is that if you know it works in any kind of fibrotic indication, it has an even bigger implication, because fibrosis is a major, major target that everybody's chasing right now because of lung fibrosis, because of liver fibrosis. So you can see how they're going for a slightly easier indication, which is the logical way of doing things because it's lower risk. But if it works in the eye, the same target can be deployed in other areas. So they'll be targeting other indications. So, but I think really what's key here, and this is what kind of caught my eye and why I really like this deal, it's the deal metrics. So they're buying, so they're a small, you know, small company, about 2-3 million market cap business, but they're buying a similar size business, if you like, with a slightly more advanced first indication they bought it for £100,000 pre-money. So they're putting in 250 into the business, so to develop the product, but on a pre-money valuation of about £100,000. Now that's what you see in down markets. Private businesses, early clinical businesses are, you know, find it difficult to refinance or to finance, whereas listed businesses have a better opportunity to do so. So they raised a little bit of money to do that. And now, you know, they own it. Basically, what's gone unnoticed, in my opinion, by the market is the business has almost doubled in size and has leapt forward in terms of its progress to clinic with this new asset. And it's kind of, you know, in this market, it doesn't surprise me. The markets are so terrible that people don't pick up on these little things. But, you know, now you have say, 2.5 million market cap business that when people kind of realize that this is that close to a a pretty solid indication. You know, there are many preclinical businesses trading on AIM, RNAi. This is a RNA silencing business that are worth $100 million plus. Like eTherapeutics is one example. You know, there are businesses out there that are worth significantly more than this business, which are good businesses. You know, we've talked about eTherapeutics in the past, and they have other stuff too. They have a digital platform, and there's more going on there. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that sometimes these little tiddlers get missed because of the market environment. But they've actually done something quite interesting that's advanced them substantially. And when kind of the markets recover or people, you know, wake up to what it is that they own, they'll realize that it's undervalued. And here, I think that's the case. I think there's a true discrepancy between where the company's at. The science is good. The pathway to clinic is defined and very clear. And the indication is lower risk. So, you know, it could be. Most companies of this type are worth plus, you know, over like at least over 10 million market cap. Here we're sitting around 2 to 3. So that in and of itself is an uplift. But more importantly, some are worth, you know, tens of millions.
Same, at similar stage. So just a bit of I did have a look it up. So glaucoma is an eye disease, isn't it? A group of eye diseases that can cause vision loss and stuff. And that's what they're looking at.
Correct.
Blindness. And then obviously fibrosis is a scarred tissue because of that stuff. So where is this company? I mean, what are they doing next? You said they're going into clinical trials. Are they? Or they in where are they?
So it is preclinical work still. So they have about, I'd say, probably 18 to months to 2 years of preclinical work to do to get into clinic. Okay. Yeah. Now that seems like a long time, but it actually isn't that long. And that's what I mean. There's a lot of work that it takes to get to this stage even. Okay. So they still have to do, some preclinical work to get there to clinic. To your point about glaucoma. Yes, exactly. It's glaucoma surgery fails because of the scarring that's a result of the surgery. So this is eye surgery, causes scarring. And then the scarring, when it's too severe, you need to redo the surgery. Okay. And it's a major market. Glaucoma is quite prevalent. There's a lot, I think everyone knows someone who's had glaucoma. You know what I mean? It's quite common as an eye disease. Yeah. So, you know, these surgeries happen quite a bit. So it is a major indication standalone. But the key point is it's all about the fibrosis post-surgery. And fibrosis itself is a pathway that's very hot right now for all the other reasons that we mentioned,
It's essentially saying, for what they've got, they seem undervalued, the potential they have there, and,
correct.
And the advancement they are at the moment, where they are in this cycle. I mean, the only concern here is, I suppose, going into the trials, or it costs more money, doesn't it? And the money what they have to do, the work they have to do, obviously costs money. So,
correct. You're right. There's always that issue of the overhang of drug development businesses, specifically in this market. You know, we even said it earlier on this call. It's these companies that, you know, when you see the end of the runway, it's not great. You know, the funding runway. Again, in this story, N4 Pharma comes to this deal with they had over a million on their balance sheet. They're burning about $600,000-$700,000 a year. So, you know, they had a lot of runway, and then they raised a little bit of money on top of that to do this deal. So the deal was cash neutral for them. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the other beauty, is at least, you know, these are relatively small businesses today. Yeah. But, you know, you're right. You do want to look at the cash position of the businesses, and they're actually okay.
Exactly. Because in this market, let's be honest, there seems to be appetite, doesn't there, for if you're doing something, acquiring something, you know, creating value, there's an appetite. But if you're just raising money to keep the lights on, and, you know, it's hard work, isn't it, raising money, you know?
Correct. Absolutely. And, you know, that's what this was. You know, we helped with the raise, and it was exactly that. It was to acquire this asset. And it made a lot of sense because of the valuation. If you think about it, just logically, N4, and, you know, people can argue which business is worth more. It's all back of envelope, right? Yeah. But N4 acquired a similar size business, if you like, and arguably with an asset that's closer to clinic for 1/10 its own value.
Yeah.
Sorry, 1/20th of its own value, because you bought it at pre-money of 100,000.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or that's it's even more. It's 1/30th roughly of its own value. So that's the arbitrage, right? So there is a public-private arbitrage there.
Yeah, exactly. Marvelous, well, interesting stuff. Worth a watch. And
yeah, it's worth keeping an eye on, because I think if it bounces, it'll bounce aggressively at some point.
Okay. And I said Nigel Theobald holds just over 6% in the company, so he's got a bit of skin in the game. SpectraMD, just the backstory of this. This is a company that went to the NASDAQ and it's listed on there. Had a bit of a nightmare. The arbitrage deal seemed very good, and all of a sudden, what happened? They raised some money, it sold off, and people saying, I think some people are saying they still haven't got their shares. They can't sell anything, which may be a good thing, because do you want to sell at the bottom? Because it seems like a lot of potential here. So I know people, do tend to sell at the bottom because they can't stomach the loss, the emotional pain of the loss. But so yesterday it seemed to have went up by 29%. But instead of that, we're still at $3.16. Yeah, and it did list at 12, was it 13 or 14 or something like that? So
Yeah, no, it's still heavily underwater from what the promise of the listing was. You know what I mean? They're supposed to be listing at $10 as part of the SPAC deal. Remembering this is a company, they're called SPACs, the shells out there, right? So it was a reverse into a shell there at $10. But the problem was there was a kind of a distressed financing that was done at, they raised $3.5 million at $4.50. So shares took a massive beating on the first days of trading. And then they ended up trading below that. So, the debate there was, who was selling and who knows. It's such a massive market out there. But what is important, and that's what I think you put your finger on yesterday is a good example. There was $25 million that went through in a stock that's a $40 million market cap business. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So the volume there is huge. And whatever sellers there are, I think they're long gone now. with one day of volume like that, and their daily volumes are about I think the stock trades on its lowest day, it trades like 150,000 shares.
Well, no,
you know what I mean? At $3.
Yeah, I don't know if it's traded. Obviously, the average has gone up now because yesterday, they were on TradingView, I'm showing the average volume is 1 million, and that was obviously that's helped up now by yesterday's, because yesterday's volume was what, 8 million? Yeah. 8 million, 8.3. Yeah. That's the amount of shares traded times that by $3. So huge upside to eight times, even the average volume, and that includes yesterday's upscale. It's washing through, it seems like, doesn't it? And the fact it rallied off may suggest. A lot of the sellers have been washed out or cleared out,
Exactly. Now, there is something else that's happened, which is quite important. Mm-hmm. They won their BARDA contract. So they won a $150 million contract from BARDA. So that's, that was long anticipated. It's finally come through. The business is in good, as a result, is in very good shape. It's an astonishing contract, so here we are looking at $40, $50 million market cap business, which has a $150 million contract ahead of it, and who has already won a $100 million contract historically from BARDA. So, the valuation of these shares is a result of this SPAC deal, which unfortunately didn't work out, I think, at all as anyone anticipated. But it's kind of financial trading rather than reflective of the valuation of the fundamentals, right?
Yeah.
The fundamentals are this company has received $100 million from BARDA and now has a contract for another $150. So you're looking at $250 million of soft financing with a market cap of $50 million.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense for very long.
No,
you know what I mean?
No. So maybe...
And I think that's where the volume is coming from. People are buying because it makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely worth a look because I genuinely someone did ask me and I said, so I can't even sell my shares. I said, well, it's a good job, probably. Maybe it's you need to hang on to them because, like I said, there's been a lot of trading in here for reasons we don't know. But it doesn't, but the current market cap doesn't seem to reflect the value of the company. So,
At all. Yeah, exactly. So, these things happen, often that for financial reasons, in this particular case, there was a distressed placing between the two, markets, which was done at a discount. So it's been smashed by the discounted placing. then it stabilizes, unfortunately, quite low. Nobody's happy with that. But meanwhile, the fundamentals of the business are continuing, which is the real business. You know what I mean? And that's what you know, hopefully, will drag the valuation up, because it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense to have so much soft financing going into a business. It's non-dilutive. $250 million of non-dilutive financing. You know, that's there are several NASDAQ businesses that, you know, aren't anywhere near that, worth 10 times more than this company.
Yeah, marvelous stuff. So maybe have a bit of patience then, everyone. I know it's hard to sit in a loss like that, but like I said, it just seems a matter of time, doesn't it, before the valuation gets reflected in the share price, you know?
Exactly. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was an absolutely painful, you know, switch over market from one market to another. It's without question, very painful, you know. But yeah, I mean, to me, this valuation doesn't make any sense. And the seller, thank God for the volume. That's the key. The sellers eventually will wash through when a stock has so much volume.
Yeah. Listen, this is a market. There's no easy money to be made in the market. The only people that make easy money in the market doing something wrong, you know, they're doing something illegal. It's like when you watch, like, a Wolf of Wall Street, people like that, who are rolling it, got so much cash, they don't know what to do with it. You realize they are on the wrong side of the law, essentially. So the market is hard. You have to do your own research. You have to have patience and discipline. There's so many, you know, so many sort of qualities you need to possess to do well in the market. And like I said, and patience and discipline are just two of them. Like I said, when you get people who are rolling in money, they get found out in the end. There's an easy way to make money in the markets. You've got to put the time and effort in, and that's it, isn't it, really, you know?
Well, that makes me feel good, Justin, because I'm not rolling in the money.
No, but you see somebody like Sam Bankman-Fried, you know, recently. It was like FTX, you know, and he had billions, you know, rolling in. And he was doing, let's be honest, he was trading his clients' money. He set up a token. He minted a new token to trade on it and pump it and all that stuff. And he had billions going around. And he's really, sooner or later, people like that come unstuck. They may have a good story to tell in 20 years' time. And people think, oh, you legend. But you know what? I wouldn't want to be in prison. You know, so it's you know, you prefer to spend 20 years in prison to write a book. Fair enough, it's all right. But you know, I'd prefer to do it the old-fashioned way. It's hard. Do your own research. You know, try and have you know, have a bit of you know, sort of discipline and patience, a bit of hard work. But I enjoy researching all that stuff. It's good, you know. So anyway,
yeah, no, absolutely,
yeah. Cool stuff. Thanks, Vadim. Speak to you next week.
Excellent. Thanks, Justin. Take care.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.